from the Terror Dome. I'm Jerry Terrifying, and you're listening to the Mondo Coolcast. Lots of exciting stuff to talk about in this episode of the Mondo Coolcast. Gamescom is going on in Cologne, Germany right now. About remakes of 80s mega cheese movies. I personally fucking hate it, so I'm gonna scream into my microphone impassioned about it in just a moment. Alright, gentlemen, welcome to some episode of the Mondo Coolcast. Shit if I know the number. Episode 37. There we go. I know the show notes are useful for something. Let's see. The first thing I'm going to go over is what's new on the website. What's new on the website for this week, The Devil Burning added the second part of his series, Sega CD Nightmare, so he goes over some of the hassles of collecting for the Sega CD. Personally, I enjoyed this episode. Dan, coming from his game corner, leaves us with a review of, I have no idea how to say this, so I'm going to say Raggy. It's R-A-G-U-Y. Shit if I know how to say that. Check it out, because it does look like an interesting game, and he does a damn fine job reviewing it, so definitely check that out. Mondo Cool fucking review dude Shintai. He reviewed Castlevania, Lords of Shadow. I've heard nothing but great things about this game. So if you're on the fence, hey man, there's a video you can check out about it. I put up a written review this week, yesterday I believe, and it's of a small little FM transmitter that you leech onto the side of your Game Boy Color or Game Boy Pocket. And it's an interesting peripheral. The time it came out might have been useful. You can read a couple paragraphs about it. Check out a couple of pictures. Probably going to make a video about it someday. I also have something that's pretty much exactly the same, but for the Game Boy Advance. Got them for $1. So that's why I did something with them. Yeah, man. I love 80s movies. And it kind of pains me to say that because so many people are, you know, at one point were on this trend. It was very fashionable to have a boner for anything that came out of the 80s, and I don't like that. I've always loved these movies from when I was a kid in the 80s and just fucking love this stuff. There is a movie called Fright Night. It's one of those movies that back when the Sci-Fi Channel was spelled correctly and was about science fiction and not whatever the fuck sci-fi is, they played this movie all the time, Fright Night. Now, they're remaking, and it's coming out this weekend, I believe. And it probably has something to do with vampires being extremely popular right now and being the hot fucking thing. Well, there's a couple of reasons why the remake is going to have, just logically, the premise of the movie alone is going to be massively different. In the original, there's this kid named Charlie. He lives in, nice little suburban town, I suppose. And he's trying to get it on with his girlfriend when she slaps him off and he looks out his window in frustration. And he sees two dudes moving a coffin into his house next door. So throughout the movie, he becomes convinced that his new neighbors are vampires. And back in the 80s, man. See, this is something where a lot of the audience isn't going to know what I'm talking about. If you're familiar with Elvira, she used to host horror movies on television. Like Elvira, there were local horror hosts. And here in Dayton, where I'm from, there was a horror host that hosted horror movies for years. And he's always at the big Halloween events and, you know, was just around and just this lovable fucking character. His name was Dr. Creep. Sadly, this last year he passed away, which is a great loss to the, you know, local Dayton fucking Halloween scene. If you love creepy things, man, Dr. Creep was just this really friendly guy. He's always out signing autographs, driving around in his hearse, looking spooky, and just like a real entertaining guy, right? But back in the 70s and 80s, he hosted horror movies on local TV. Believe it or not, your local stations used to have original programming, and a lot of that started going away with the proliferation of cable TV. So right around the times, you know, I was born, and, you know, probably well after most of you guys in your teens and really early 20s, you know, right before you guys were born, this shit was disappearing. So in this movie, Fright Night, there's this character, Peter Vincent, and he's a local horror movie host, and he claims to be a vampire hunter, and he's starred in a few schlocky horror movies, and so when Charlie thinks his neighbor's a fucking vampire, he goes to Peter Vincent, you know, proclaimed local vampire hunter, to help him slay this vampire. And, you know, throughout the movie, eventually, Peter Vincent stops being a pussy. He helps Charlie. They slay the fucking vampire. And it's awesome to see this washed-up actor and local horror movie host, you know, doing the hero thing, right? And it's a real charming movie. It's very... it's endearing because of it's kind of shitty. And they're remaking this. And it's, you know, looks like a real nice big budget generic vampire movie. So the Peter Vincent character, if they tried to have a horror movie host, the 14-year-old kids and, you know, little girls that are flocking, lining around the blocks to go see this movie, they're going to have no fucking clue what a horror movie host is. Not even a fuck the slightest inclination of what the hell that would be. So what do they replace the Peter Vincent character with? A Las Vegas magician. What the fuck is that about? No thanks. Stop remaking movies that are only a few years old, you know? I mean, it's the movie came out like 1985. The movie's just, you know, a couple years younger than I am. That shit doesn't need to be remade at all. The movie stands on its own. Write a new movie about a Las Vegas magician, and is why call it Fright Night? The people that even know what that movie is are just going to be pissed off that you're doing that. And yeah, get the hell out of here, man. Just make a new movie. There's nothing wrong with that. Let's see. Next thing we got on the old show notes. I listened to this other podcast, and once upon a time I heard them talking about this movie. And they had a guest on that hyped it up. It's called Fanboy Soze. And it's edited out of the movie Akira, famous anime, you know, one of the most famous anime movies out there, I'd be willing to wager. And they edited that down, and it's all about fanboys, and it's all about Dragon Ball Z, and this evil corporation that keeps putting out shitty, butchered versions of the same product. It's kind of entertaining. Some of the people in the audience might like it. I'm going to have a link to it in the show notes, because it just made its way to YouTube, and I enjoyed it. I believe it's four parts. There's a lot of jokes about freaking Portal in there, and Dragon Ball and stuff like that. It was enjoyable. I had a good time watching it, personally. I'm going to go ahead and bring Shintai into the show now, but first, I'm going to kick it over to this absolutely fucking hilarious song that I heard last week after the show when CF popped on. It is a parody of the ICP Miracles song called Magical Mysteries. So let's sit back, relax, and listen to that for a moment as I bring
so many confusing things out there. Well, get your magnifying glasses out, ninjas, and take a closer look at life.
The world is full of magical mysteries, puzzles unsolved since ancient history. Where does the sun hide at night? Did people really used to live in black and white? Is the world round? Is it flat? How come no one can tell me that?
Like, what's with islands? Get more land.
What's with deserts? Get less sand. What is Alaska? Who is Brazil? Isn't a volcano just an angry hill?
How did God even think of dirt? Erasable pants make my head hurt.
Metal, girls, iron, fire. How'd they get my voice in a telephone wire?
Why are pants different than shirts?
Fucking blankets. How do they work?
The world is full of mysteries.
How do suitcases always know where to meet you, huh?
So many magical mysteries.
Are children small or just far away?
Why
yeah.
So many mysteries.
Ha-ha!
Why do some mountains look like
they
presidents?
Stop trying to trick us,
what the f*** is a clock?
Now here's just a list of some stuff.
Trees, swans, cakes, a horse.
Triangles, witches,
a different horse. Two horses.
The whole world's got 10,000 people.
And Santa Claus created all of us equal. Aztan's kids look just like Aztan. And my two kids look just like Aztan.
So open your mind, but shut off your brain.
The mysteries of life can't be explained.
So f*** you books, we don't need your tricks.
And all you scientists who suck on it's all magic.
Oh!
Life is a beautiful thing.
Ha ha! Take two fresh. Aztan 2010. Ha ha! I'm gonna live forever.
Ha ha! All right, man. That parody of Magical Mysteries fucking cracks my shit up.
fucking Aztan.
That video is so fucking funny. It gives me the lulls. Fuck, man. I've lost one follower on my Facebook page since about an hour ago. Shit pisses me off. Forgot to post another link to it.
Hey, man. Like I say, good riddance.
Yeah, get the fuck out of here. If you don't like cheer, you're a bitch.
Remember I lose a subscriber? I don't swear. I'm just like, man, didn't need him anyways.
Well, not on YouTube anymore because I've got so many that, you know, it doesn't really matter. But when you got like 89 people and you're like, fuck yeah, 90, finally a nice another round number again, and then they fucking disappear because they're apparently little pricks. Whatever, man. Fuck them. I think it's fuck out of here. Fucking bitches. Fucking never liked you anyway. Piece of shit. Of course, I wouldn't know who it was because fucking Facebook and their real name policy, that shit is why I don't like Facebook and I lie and use a fake name. That's fucking stupid. Anyway, some super exciting 360 news, dude. We had a story last week or maybe the week before where I said the 250 gigabyte fucking Super Xbox, they're not going to be glossy anymore. They're now going to come in glossy and matte finish, and that's not exactly true. It's no more glossy ones at all. Moving forward, all 360s are going to have the matte finish, and I'm sure that'll be confusing. And you know, because up to this point you could tell which one you had just by looking at it. Oh, it's the matte finish, it's the 4 gigabyte one. Okay. And now that's no longer the case. Now it could be anything, and gamers everywhere will be confused.
It's like, I don't know what I own.
You know, you go over to your buddy's house, and you're like, oh, man, I wish I knew how much internal storage that Xbox had. And you look at it, and you're like, oh, it's got a matte finish. It must be 4 gigabytes. And they're like, bitch, please. I just bought that. It's got 250 gigabytes in that motherfucker. And you're like, oh, I'm so foolish and uneducated on Xbox memory bullshit. Anyway, just throwing that out. Have you ever seen the show Storage Wars? Do you know what I'm talking about? This has absolutely nothing to do with Xbox memory storage or anything. It's on, I think, like A&E or fucking TLC, one of those asshole channels. And people buy storage units. Like, they open up the storage unit, people start bidding on them. And then, you know, if you buy the storage unit, you got to sell the shit and make a profit. And that's the premise of the show. It shows different groups of people buying these storage lockers and, you know, how much money they make. Kind of like American Pickers, but instead of awesome shit, it's just, you know, a bunch of garbage that someone put in a fucking storage locker when they were moving and then forgot to pay, you know? So, whatever. Some guy, he's digging through the storage locker. And he's like, oh my God, guys, this is what we buy storage lockers for. Please be an NES-001. Oh my God, it's an NES-001. I saw one of these go on an eBay auction for $13,000. Now, do you own a regular Nintendo, Shintai?
I used to, not right now.
Was it the front loader or the top loader?
It was the front loader.
Okay, that's an NES-001. That's exactly what this guy found. Except for this one looks like it had half a bottle of fucking Grape Crush poured on it. And real shitty condition. So he's sitting here thinking he's got this fucking gold mine. I've got three NES-001s in my house right goddamn now, right? So this other guy on the show, they take him to a used game store. And they have him appraise it, and it doesn't work. It's got like two or three games that don't fucking matter. And the guy at the game store says, it doesn't work, these games, in this condition. I'll give you about $10. And this guy is hardball. He's like, but I saw it in an auction and it sold for $13,000 and it had five games. Okay, do you know what one of those five games were? Fucking Stadium Events. Stadium Events sold for $13,000 and someone got a Nintendo with it. That's the auction that he saw. He thought it was the Nintendo 001 that was the big...
That was worth all the money.
I'm going to include a link. I've got the... Oh, it's on A&E. It's here in the link. AETV.com. I'll include the link to this episode. Skip to the 15-minute mark. I'll also put that in the show notes. But skip to the 15-minute mark. Watch that part. And then if you skip a little bit later towards the end of the episode, you'll see the appraisal. And this guy is just fucking flabbergasted. If you ever wanted to know what flabbergasted looked like, this guy was fucking flabbergasted. And it's pretty funny to see people's, you know, overestimations of what their shit's worth. And shit, dude, I just got a text message. I'm gonna answer this shit and I can't talk about two different things. When? It's my dude, Arthur Perkins, wants to hang out, and I haven't actually seen him back since he came back from Alaska. So I've been a creepy shut in hermit and fucking don't like being outside, I guess, because I'm mental.
It's because you're a hikikomori.
Pretty much, dude. I'm getting there. I'm trying not to be. But it doesn't matter. Still at episode 11. Still at episode 11, man. I will get that shit done. We'll make another collaboration video. I enjoyed the process of the one you're currently working on.
Yes, that
shit. I can talk and not have to worry about anything else. I saw on the internet, on YouTube, there's a drinking game called Sake Bomberman. And they explain the rules and all that shit. And show notes, check it out. Looks like a fun drinking game. You get a couple of people together, you play Bomberman. If, I don't know, if you die, you take a drink of beer. If you fucking die from this certain attack, you take a fucking shot. And if some special condition happens, you take, you know, you drop the shot glass in the beer and take that, whatever the fuck. Your fucking sake bomb.
Sounds like
Yeah, drinking game. I feel like drinking games and party games. Let's see. My friend wants to hang out now, doing live show right now. I guess he doesn't.
Sorry for your friend, but not going to happen. Not yet.
Yeah, maybe in a couple hours, but whatever. Let's see. New Counter-Strike coming 2012 for the PS3, 360, PC, and Mac. There you go. That's about my level of shit-giving.
I know Counter-Strike is really popular, but I never played it.
My one buddy, the guy that made the Mondo Cool TV theme, actually, the guy that does the vocals, Seth Rock, he is hugely into Counter-Strike for a while. And, let's see, hour or two. yeah, I don't know, man. I never got into it. It looks kind of boring. I have it on my Xbox for, like, LAN parties and shit. And, you know, it's one of those competitive games, but it's, like, two-minute rounds. And, God, I feel sorry for the people that paid full price for that. I don't know. I'm sure, like, isn't the PC version free or something? Like, isn't it a fucking Half-Life 2 mod or something? I don't know. I'm not a Counter-Strike fag. Shit doesn't have enough to...
Me either. I don't know.
Yeah, it's just whatever. It's a
thing. I don't know jack shit.
Some dude was trying to put together a class-action lawsuit against Microsoft. They double-billed him on his Xbox Live account. The card he had tied to the account expired. They charged him for that, and then when he renewed his card, he got charged $120, and they said it's not a mistake, we're just going to give you 2 years of Live, and he's fucking pissed. And apparently a lot of other people are too, I suppose, and he's putting together a class action
lawsuit. Yeah, I would imagine.
Oh yeah, I mean, Microsoft and their shady fucking business practices are just like that. And, you know, fuck them.
Yeah, I've never really been a big fan of Microsoft to begin with. And shit like this just makes me shake my head even more.
Yeah, it's, you know, I mean, I haven't been burnt by them yet. But actually, what I did was, because I'm out of fucking money, right? I tried to... what was I trying to do, man? I wanted to take my card off my debit card because I use my debit card for this shit so that it doesn't stack up on my credit card, so I'm just paying for it, right? And that's what I did when I bought a year of Live. In retrospect, I should have just bought one of those fucking cards at the store. That would have been better. I recommend everyone that has Xbox Live fucking just use, or if you're going to get Xbox Live, use one of the cards. Don't let them get a hold of your fucking charge account, because they just want to fuck you. But I was looking through the website thinking that I would be able to delete my account info, and you can't. You have to actually make a phone call. And
what?
There's no way on the website to cancel Xbox Live. You have to call customer service, and they're going to talk you out. They're going to try to talk you out of canceling. I'm immune to that bullshit. I have no problem saying no, no, no. Let me talk to your boss. Fuck you. No. I have no problem with that shit. And try to get a fucking word in edgewise that ain't what I want to hear. You know, and it's... A lot of people will fall for that. Like, well, you raised a good point. Aren't you, like, being cool and fucking playing the online games like my friends? And, you know, whatever. There should be an option on the website. There should be absolutely no problem any time, day or night, for me to cancel my account. There should be absolutely no fucking reason. They have a website so that you don't tie up fucking phone lines, so that you don't have to pay some asshole in fucking India to sit on the goddamn phone line all day taking cancellations. It's fucking bullshit what Xbox does, and whatever.
They probably do that to try and discourage you from actually...
There's a lot of people that say, oh god, I gotta make a fucking phone call between business hours. Fuck you. You know, because back when I was working third shift, I actually had an excuse. It's like, fuck, man, I'm not waking up before 5 so that I can make this fucking hour-long phone call. Then I'm going to be all crabby at work the next day because I'm fucking asshole tired. So there's a lot of people that I'm sure that does work for that it, you know, discourages. And
yeah, exactly, which is bullshit. Shouldn't have to deal with that nonsense.
It should be an option that you log into the website and erase your card details. I did switch my account. I switched it over to one of my credit card accounts. And so I didn't know when the subscription was going to end. Do you know when I got my notice that it had charged my account? Fucking a week later. They had charged me, and it took a week later for me to get the email. Said, back on the 7th, we charged you. It's like, what? Because I didn't really want my Xbox Live to end, but I didn't really want to pay for it either. But they waited a fucking week to tell me, so... Eventually, you know, well before next year, I'm just going to cancel. You know, like, call in and make sure they fucking cancel that auto-billing shit. And from then on out, if I do have Live, I'm going to use the cards because they can go fuck themselves. It's bullshit. God of War,
yeah.
The PS3 fucking HD remake collection of the PSP games. There's a YouTube video out where they compare them side by side. Looks a little bit smoother. Doesn't look that great, though. I would honestly recommend finding a cheap copy of the UMD version and saving a couple of bucks because it doesn't look that great. Although, if there is enhanced control, but then it doesn't really matter because you don't have full 3D camera control in any of the God of War games. Maybe you do in God of War 3, but not the first two or the ones on PSP.
Well, with...
it doesn't really matter.
Well, with God of War and the PSP, the way you have to dodge is I think you have to hold your buttons.
Yeah, you hold down L1 and then use the nub. Whereas on the PS3 version, the right stick is just your fucking roll button. So it's really not a big deal at all. Like, it really doesn't affect the controls one bit. So, you know, whatever. It's a thing. They show a comparison video. I'm sure it'll look nice on your HDTV, but, you know, being able to play God of War on the dumper, pretty sweet. A Borderlands 2 teaser video came out. I think after I added this to the show notes, a video came out showing some actual first-person gameplay. So, look for those videos in the show notes.
Or not, because you're a lazy fuck.
You know, whatever. Actually, Shaitan, fucking the Devil Burning, he goes through every link on the show notes. So as long as he continues looking at them, I'll keep posting them. So I was thinking he's the only person that really goes through them. He's like, I can't imagine, this is what he said, I can't imagine anyone not going through the show notes because there's a million awesome links. It's like, okay, good point. So everyone listening, when this goes up, go through the fucking show notes. Make my, like, 10 minutes of effort fucking worth it. Minecraft Pocket Edition hits the Xperia Play and some Android phones. Cost $7. I haven't seen any footage of the game running. I don't know how it works. I don't know if you run around on servers like the PC game, like if you can interact with PC games. I doubt it. Because it'd be kind of a bitch trying to configure servers for the cell phone version, so I'd imagine that's being handled by someone. So I don't know. But $7, if you got an Android or an Xperia Play, fucking buy that shit. If anyone's got one of those phones in the audience, let me know how it works if you got $7 to shit away. Let's see, what else we got? Let's see. Neo Geo Pocket Flash Cart. I would probably pass, because I bet that thing costs more than just buying all the fucking games. Most of them aren't that expensive.
new Yu-Gi-Oh! Pocket Flash cards? Well, I mean, were there any really great games on the Neo Geo Pocket?
There's like a 15-game library. The two Metal Slugs are really good, and the Sonic game is really good. The fighting games? Eh, no thank you. I mean, people like them, but they're just, you know, 8-bit sort of chibi-style fighting games that don't really do it for me personally. They're not bad, but they're just not for me. I don't know. I don't know. But someone put it together, so it's cool for the cool factor. And
I've never played a Neo Geo anything, unfortunately. Things are really expensive and rare.
Not the Neo Geo Pocket. The Neo Geo Pocket, you can get one for like $30-$40. But the game library is so small that it's really only for people that, you know, want it. You know, I wanted it because I want to have one of everything. If it exists, I'd love to have one.
M15 Granger wants to say that Beast Buster on Neo Geo is really good.
I'm talking about the Pocket. Is he talking about the Pocket?
He just says on Neo Geo.
Okay.
I don't know
there's a world of difference between an AES, an MVS, and the Neo Geo Pocket Color. There's like 15 games on the Neo Geo Pocket, and
He says it is on the Pocket, and he says it's like if Zelda were to be mixed with Ghostbusters.
I've never heard of that game. I guess I'm not familiar with the 15 games, and I don't want to turn around and grab my book and look through it. My book of every game ever.
That sounds pretty cool, though. A mix between Zelda and Ghostbusters. I'd play that.
Arms Beast Buster 1990.
And it's on the go to boot, so yeah, that's pretty cool.
Why isn't this thing letting me copy? Ugh. Fuck this chat room. It's only letting me copy, like, one word, and then it stops at the space. Dark Arms Beast Buster.
It's as reliably built as Dixon with scotch tape.
Pretty much. This chat room has its issues, but back when I was looking for copy and pastable Flash chat rooms, it was the best. Dark Arms Beast Buster. Let's see what YouTube has to say about it. Goddamn. This guy, Vice the Determined, whenever I look up weird games, man. There's this fucking guy, Vice the Determined. That's a good kid. He's got a twin. Twins are spooky. You ever talked to any twins in real life? Fucking spooky.
Yeah, I did, actually. When I was younger, I had my best friend, when he moved, into this apartment complex, and he made a bunch of new friends there. I would always go over there, at least, like, once or twice a month, and you know, I'd hang out with him and his other friends, and they happened to be, you know, a couple of twins. I didn't really even notice that they were twins at first, because I was a kid, I was just focused more on playing fucking Nintendo 64 and shit. But I noticed, and I was like, oh, hey, you two are twins. And they're like, yeah. And my friend was like, oh, the only way I can tell the difference because of their teeth. Because, you know, we're still kids, so, like, you know, one of them had, like, missing teeth still.
When I was in elementary school, there was these two twins, Chad and Sean. God damn, fuck my memory for remembering everything. Chad and Sean, and there was a contest to change the mascot of the school. And at the time, the school's mascot was a fucking unicorn. It's like when we'd go to field day and compete with all the other schools, it'd be like fucking Panthers, Jaguars, Terror Falcons, and just like all this cool shit. And then the unicorns. And so everybody thought that shit was gay. So they made the dragons. And they had like this big badass dragon, like fucking crawling around the first letter in the name of my elementary school, right? And it looked totally fucking badass. And, so, it didn't win. They chose something totally fucking gay. You know the Wright brothers were from Dayton, fucking invented planes. So the whatever name of my school, Flyers, and then it was a picture of a biplane, won because the adults decided that was better than the Dragons. And everyone was fucking pissed that the fucking Flyers is what won. And so I remember one of my teachers was... That was in the third grade. Then I went to a different elementary school for the fifth grade. And they happened to be on the same plot of land. Like, they just opened up this adjoined building and made it into a spin-off elementary school, I suppose. So since it was the first year of being open for regular elementary schooldom, we were having another contest. Draw your shit and fucking, you know, for the mascot, right? And the teacher's like, oh, we don't need another blank school Dragons incident. And I always remember that, like, wow, those teachers really hated the Dragons. So flash forward to when I'm in high school, we get our own minor league baseball team, the Dayton Dragons. And that just really burned my ass. And I'm like, ha, I wonder what all those asshole teachers from my first elementary school think about that shit, that it's good enough for a fucking minor league team. And like, everything's Dayton Dragons. Fucking get your Dayton Dragons jerseys. Just fucking Dragons all day up in this bitch. Just Dayton and Dragons from then on out. And that's just always been one of those things that pissed me off. Because every kid voted for the Dragon mascot. No one wanted your little faggot fucking airplane. Actually, I think the airplane's what the second elementary school used. Kid named Bill Hodak drew that. And that guy's a piece of shit. Then in high school, he became one of the Asian kids that would fucking break dance every day in the parking lot.
The hell?
Yeah, it's like, he's this Korean kid. He's the guy that designed the Wright Brothers plane logo for my second elementary school. And he eventually was just one of the fucking breakdancing Asian kids from high school.
Because what else are you
going to
do?
That's just... See, and then I had my one friend, Chuck. I have this picture somewhere on my hard drive, and it's got a picture of his school ID, and then he put a Made in Korea sticker under it, because he's Korean, and we all had lulls. We also had a lot of lulls at the plastic plate in his head, but whatever. There's some stories for you, Balzac. Nothing terribly exciting, but...
Now, don't make fun of unicorns too badly, because Gundam Unicorn is pretty fucking badass.
Yeah, well, is it prancing? Is it just fucking prancing around and having a good time? I'm going to go...
No, it's fucking shit up is what it is.
Now, oh man, I'm trying to get this story fucking right. The first elementary school, I know one, but I think they just didn't implement it until all the kids that remembered left, and then they made it something different. Because fuck it, man. I live down the street from that school. I'll just drive by and look and see what the fuck they got going on there. But there was some sort of scandalous shit where the Dragons won, and I think they just didn't do anything about it until, you know, a couple of classes graduated, then they held another contest. It was some sort of bullshit, and it just always fucking pissed me off, because that Dragon that Chad drew was fucking sweet. Yeah, well, Sean or Shad, one of the fucking twins, I don't know. Anyway, PlayStation 3 got a price drop. The 320GB PS3 loaded with Infamous 2 comes with that shit is $299, and the 160GB PS3 is down to $250. So there's some price drops if you haven't made the plunge into Sony land. Fucking go for it. PlayStations are sweet.
That 320GB with Infamous 2, that's a pretty sweet deal.
For $299? That's not bad. Infamous is a pretty good game, man.
The first Infamous, I really enjoyed it. I haven't played the second one yet, but a friend of mine says it's pretty much more of the same, just, you know, more polished and done better. So, you know, that's good in my book.
Let's see. Yeah, man, for another $50, getting the 320-gigabyte hard drive, that's worth it.
Yeah, and you get, you know...
I mean, I could probably price out some hard drives, because... is there a limit on how big of a hard drive you can throw? Because you can throw in any 2.5 SATA drive in there.
Yeah, I would imagine you can probably fit maybe a terabyte even. I'm not really sure, though.
I know people have at least put 500 gigabytes in there. And I remember at one point, Sony advised against going higher than that, I believe. I think, don't quote me on that, that's a possibility. I think Sony cautioned you against putting in bigger drives over a certain size, and I think that was 500 gigabytes. But that was, you know, a couple of firmwares ago. Fuck, a couple of hardware versions ago. So.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if that's changed at this point.
But, you know, I upgraded back when the biggest you could get was a 60 gigabyte hard drive. I upgraded to 120, and that's what I'm still rocking, you know.
I have a 250 gigabyte one, and it's served me quite well.
If I had money, I would like to get, you know, a 500 gig hard drive and dump in my PS3. It would be nice, because I'm down to like 40 gigs of memory left on that 120 gigabyte drive, and because I don't delete things, man. Like, I'm sure I could go through and delete a lot of those install files and clear up a lot of shit, but I don't really think about that until I have to. Let's see. Straight from the offices of What the Fuck For, there's a Wii design, and it's coming to Europe only, I believe. And this Wii design is removing GameCube support, and it's designed... And it's designed to lay flat, even though the pictures I saw looked exactly the same as a standard Wii. I don't know. I would assume they took out the controller ports, but there's so many Wii games that let you use controllers. You know? Like, why does this exist?
No fucking clue.
Is it, like, massively price reduced? Why would they waste time? You know, those things are pretty cheap to make already. Why would they waste time even paying a guy to design a new one and start manufacturing a new thing? I don't know. The fucking... fuck if I know.
Yeah, it doesn't really seem to make any sense.
I got a little bit of audio to play. I decided I'm just going to play the fucking audio instead of talking about it. Some dude at some trade show is talking about PlayStation Vita and its apps and what you can do with the apps and all the sweet features you can fucking do with your little PlayStation Vita friends. You can go out and buy scarves and Buddy Holly glasses and fucking smile and play PlayStation Vita drinking coffee and using fucking apps. Have you ever... That's what they show in all these marketing materials. Let's have someone in a New York high-rise apartment at the beautiful skyline, and it's diverse as fuck. There's like an Asian girl, a white guy, a black dude, and they're just like smiling with some coffee and real nice clothes. I'm like, oh god, fucking PlayStation, and they're just like cheesing as hard as they can, and it's just like, what? Those people don't play video games. Those people are too busy going to Circle Jerks. Whatever, I got some fucking audio about some PlayStation.
I want to share with you some of the social applications that will be available on PlayStation Vita. Near is a feature that enables you to find out what your friends in the same area are playing right now or what they've played recently. Simply by sharing your game information, you can meet your friends and new players regardless of what games they are playing. Party enables you to enjoy voice chat or text chat with your friends. Not only while you play online, but also when you're playing different games or using different applications, such as the internet browser. Live Area is another interactive portal that enables you to connect to your contacts and the content that you care about. You can check the latest news, receive the latest gaming updates from your friends, and then comment back on what your friends have said. The constant interaction available via live area takes the social aspect of Vita to a different level. With PlayStation Vita's social essentials, you can access your preferred social media. Whether you want to keep up to date with your friends on Facebook and Twitter, call them via Skype, or check in to your favorite places on Foursquare, Vita is packed with powerful social media capabilities. Fully optimized for use on Vita, social essentials offer a closer link between your gaming and your friends than ever before. For the serious competitor, we also offer a trophy application that allows you to store and track all of your trophies won on both Vita and PS3. Trophy wins are uploaded to PSN so that you can compare your trophies with those of your friends and also view your PS3 trophies. All Vita games will be available on the PlayStation Store, as well as those PSP games currently available for download. PlayStation Vita also enables messages to be sent to multiple users on PlayStation Network via the group messaging app. And you can also get updates on your friends' latest gaming status via friends' profiles. The internet browser allows you to enjoy web browsing experiences wherever you are, anywhere, anytime. So as you can see, Vita has some innovative and remarkable applications. And with 3G, gamers will be able to enjoy an always connected experience. Social connectivity designed for gamers makes Vita a portal that expands your gaming experience in meaningful ways. Stay constantly connected to your PlayStation Life. Keep up to date with all the latest gaming news. Never lose touch with your friends. Real-time gaming, discovering and sharing new experiences based on your location. All of this functionality adds a social dimension.
Man, that dude certainly talked about some fucking PlayStation apps. I watched this shit like 3 or 4 days ago. I don't know what the fuck he's talking about. But there's like one thing where if you're near your friends, you can fucking do this feature. And I don't know. Ballsack's actually asking an interesting question that I would like to take upon myself to squawk about right now. Next GNDB/Classic Lead episode is coming out tomorrow. Do you think they will announce a separation? I hope they do, but I kind of doubt it. I hope they do, but I want to see what their response is to the email segment. I really hope that GNDB continue with their own show, doing cool things that Gooch and the Douchebag do. Even when Gooch and the Douchebag toned their show down and stopped cussing, it's still a little more out of control and wild than Classic Leak can handle. You know, like, Tony, great guy, but he's a little straight-laced, you know? Just not all about dick jokes and you know, being a dick. So it's just, they're different shows for different reasons. And I want to see what their response is. I hope they decide to separate the shows. But I definitely want to see how they read those emails. Really want to see what their reaction is. Because I'm betting that everyone that commented on it is like, what? Fuck this. And I bet the people that don't are only people that either just listen to Classic Leap and or people that are listening on fucking Glitched Out and don't know either show well enough.
We at Mondo Coolcast just wanted to say that we promote all sorts of jokes and comedy concerning dicks.
You know, ever since I met Alex on old Skype, thanks to Gooch and the Douchebag, actually. It's just been nothing but a dick train. Just dicks all day.
The actual train itself is a giant dick.
The train tracks. Many, many long, narrow dicks. And
it's... And dick mules.
These guys would get it if they were ever around for any D&D night. Oh no, Alex and his dick jokes, it amuses me. I've never been one to make dick jokes, but ever since Alex started it, man. One of my favorite comments on Gooch and the Douchebags website, where they posted that most current episode, someone said, if anyone should team up with Gooch and the Douchebag, let me read it. I got that in my tab right now. Let's see. Okay. My dream podcast series would feature Gooch, DB, Critical Failure, and the dude from Mondo Cool. You four work really well together. You four work really well together and bounce off one another. However, I can understand that it's hard to get you all together at the same time as you all have different commitments. Well, we'll give this merger a chance, although I hope it doesn't change the style of your podcast too much. Guessing there is none of your classic Gooch and DB segments anymore, like the bags segment. I like how he remembers everyone's fucking name.
That's you. You're the Big Lebowski.
I'm the fucking Mondo Cool dude. I can dig it. I like that. I'm Big glad Lebowski. That he likes those episodes. I agree with that. At one point...
you are El Dudeless.
At one point, Alex, myself, and GNDB were going to do a spinoff podcast, like maybe once a month. But the problem is mostly... Douchebag and Alex. Getting them together at the same time is the biggest hurdle. Douchebag just, like, finished up his master's this year, so, like, that's why he was busy. He was just, like, fucking schooling it up hardcore. And Alex has an oppressive wife and a young child. Alex can only get on the internet and have so much fun for so many minutes a week. And,
before she drains the life force from
Him. I'm sure he dedicates as much of that to video games and his own podcast. And I don't know, man. Actually, here's something that I noticed. Classic Lead always does their email segments at the beginning of the show, which I think is interesting because, you know, every other show that I've heard does that at the end. And they always do that at the... I mean, it's just, it seems like the best place to put it. But I do like that it's different, you know? And this episode where they merged, they did it at the end instead of the beginning. They didn't call it bagged, but the placement did change to be a little more goosh-baggy. Gooch-baggy. And so I don't know. It's personally distressing. I didn't like it that they merged, but... Because just like Balzac said, it's... Or someone in the comments on Gooch and the Douchebag site said, it's, you know, instead of having two podcasts that I listen to, now it's one. And it happens to be shorter. And
well, to be fair, I'm sure when the two groups were talking about it, they probably thought it was going to be awesome. It's like, dude, people like you guys, people like us... I'm sure if we put our forces together, it'll be two times as awesome. But unfortunately, it doesn't always work out that way. Again, I haven't listened to it, so I can't really judge myself. But I'm just saying.
It definitely felt like an episode of Classic Leap and Gooch and the Douchebag were there. That's what it felt like to me. Listen to it, Shintai. Listen to it. I gave it a shot. I didn't have a bad time, but it just feels like another episode of Classic Leap. And Gooch and the Douchebag were there. So it just, you know, feels like they were... It didn't feel like a Gooch and the Douchebag episode by any stretch of the imagination. And that sucks, because Gooch and the Douchebag were my favorite podcast. That's how I met Alex. That's, you know, by meeting Alex, that's how I met you. I know you from Critical Failures forums. And shit, that's how I found out about Classic Lead, I believe, from fucking Alex. So I don't know, man. It is what it is. Hopefully they separate. That's my opinion. If it continues, I mean, there's really nothing that can be said or done about it. So. Who will? Let's see. Let's look at some show notes. The billionaire dude that founded PayPal has donated a shitload of money to build giant floating sovereign nations in the middle of international waters. The connection to video games that everyone's making. One of the things that Kotaku does is whenever there's a news segment or a real life thing that happens, they bend over backwards finding a video game connection and then post it. and they're talking about Rapture from Bioshock. They're like one step closer to a real life Rapture. And that's what you're talking about. So this guy is trying to build some fucking giant floating fortress nation out in the middle of the ocean in international waters where they're free from the bureaucratic bullshit where, you know, let's say they do start this wonderful society, give it about 50 years and it'll be mired in bureaucracy and bullshit, and they'll figure out that you need police, and having a country that's basically filled with billionaire meth addicts probably not going to run as smooth as they hope, because it's going to cost a lot of money to live out there. And do you really think these billionaires are going to want to farm their own fucking food? Or are they just going to boat in all their food and water? It's a lot of realistic fucking issues. And, you know, you can't just say, well, I'm rich, fucking, I'm going to go live somewhere where the law don't exist. Because, seriously, you're going to have a lot of fucking mechanics. You're going to have a lot of maintenance people doing shit jobs out there. And, you know, that, you know, these rich people trying to get away, they're not going to be able to get away from those people, because those are going to be like blue collar dudes living there, bringing their fucking real life problems. So, good luck. I'll have a link to the Daily Mail fucking link I got that from. So you got a video, first look at Resistance for the PlayStation Vita. Looks pretty smooth. Lots of nice dual stick action going on in there. Let's see. What else we got? Kojima tweeted a picture. Does it mean that Zone of the Enders is coming to the 3DS? And, you know, this is another fucking dig at the 3DS. I know it's going to eventually be a successful thing just because Nintendo and their fucking handheld block. 3DS, I really can't get over this. 3DS... it's all about having 3D games. And do you know what made 3D games work? Two fucking analog sticks. Jesus Christ, I can't nail that home any harder. And
just makes me want to cringe that Zone of the Enders 1 and 2 are some of my favorite action games. They're so fast and fun to play, and I'm really glad that they're coming out in HD, because especially the second game, not a whole lot of people were able to play the games, but they were really good. I'm a huge fan of the series, even though there's only two games. And for fucking almost a decade now, we've been begging for a third game. And now is when we get it on the fucking 3DS of all things. What's the point of re-releasing 1 and 2... for the PS3, and I believe the 360 as well, if you're going to release the next fucking game on a completely unrelated console? It's not even a fucking console. It's a handheld. What? Fuck you. What are you doing, man?
A lot of the comments I was reading, people were bashing, you know, this decision. A lot of people are saying, oh, it's just more 3DS hate. Everybody hates the 3DS. And a lot of people are arguing that, no, it's just handheld hate. It's a series that was on, you know, home consoles, and then it's moving to the handheld market, which that does seem shitty. You know, having some nice big fucking visuals on your nice big shiny HDTV, you know, I've never played the series personally. But if, actually the same thing did happen. Like when all the Metal Gear games that were on the PSP went to the PSP, everybody was pissed. Everybody's like, how can I play this game on my PlayStation? How can I play this game on my PS3? And begging for ports, which I guess eventually they got, because Peace Walker is coming to the PS3. So, I mean... Yeah. It also doesn't make sense that to have a series that was on the PlayStation 2, and everybody's been begging for, like, what, 8, 9, 10 years now?
Something like that, yeah.
Did you really think they were begging for it to go to the next fucking Nintendo handheld?
I mean, the only thing I can think of is they did make a Zone of the Enders game for the Game Boy Advance. called Fist of Mars or something like that, but I never played it, although I heard it wasn't that good. And that's the only connection the series has had to Nintendo. But I still don't see that as a legitimate reason, because it wasn't considered, it was considered a spin-off. It wasn't considered like part of the main series, so I don't fucking get it.
Yeah, I don't know. But there's a picture of like a fucking robot model on Kojima's desk, and then behind it there's something that says fucking Zone of the Enders 3DS. Do you think he did it just so that every game that's the third in the series on the 3DS is whatever 3DS? You know? Do you think that's what prompted the decision? It's like, well, I could put it on the PlayStation 3, but it would be Zone of the Enders 3DS, and it's the third in the series. Fortune! I can smell the fucking money!
He did that with Metal Gear 3.
Yeah, but Metal Gear Solid 3 was already on fucking PlayStation 2.
PS2.
And it's also coming to the PS3. Fucking man, who knows? Maybe it'll be coming to every console. Who knows?
Hey, dude, wouldn't it have been awesome if Metal Gear 1 was on PS1, Metal Gear 2 was on PS2, and then Metal Gear 3 was released on PS3? That would have been kind of cool.
Kind of. Originally, Kojima did want Metal Gear Solid 3 to be on the PS3. They just didn't come out soon enough, so they went ahead with the PS2 version. That's something I read in an interview once. Anyway, that's shitty for Zone of the Enders fans. Let's see, next thing. The Nintendo Selects line of $20 games, skinning a couple of more games. Super Mario Galaxy, Super Paper Mario, Mario Strikers, Charged, and Punch-Out are all going to be $20. And have that different packaging. So that's a thing that exists.
Certainly does.
You know, it's...
Exist, I mean.
Well, you know... Ugh, dude. Yeah, I really don't care about that Punch-Out game. Or Mario Soccer. Really,
I mean, I like the art style of Punch-Out, but the game doesn't seem very fun to play.
Yeah. Speaking of things that don't seem like they're fun to play, Ninja Gaiden 3 is going to have move support.
Oh, you don't like Ninja Gaiden?
Move support.
That doesn't sound like fun.
That's what I'm talking about. Ninja Gaiden on the Nintendo is one of my favorite games. It's in my top 5.
What about on the Xbox and PS3?
Have not played the Xbox versions. I have played Ninja Gaiden Sigma. Yeah, and I got stuck somewhere, but I was having fun up until I got stuck. And it's like, would you like to try pussy mode because you keep dying? And it's like, yes, I would like to try pussy mode because I keep dying. I think it's like called Ninja Dog mode or something.
Yeah, and then they give you like a little pink power ribbon or something.
Fucking move support. Let's see.
I don't understand that. You're gonna slice with the
move. Oh my god, so many people are gonna be throwing their like shoulder out of alignment.
Yeah, because that game...
Swinging around frantically.
You have to do all these really crazy moves. You're a fucking ninja jumping around, slicing shit up. I mean, what?
Sounds like it's been tacked on with a shuriken. All Vita games will be available digitally, straight from the offices of... Well, no shit, I could have told you that. It's been confirmed, though, that upon release, all Vita games will be available digitally or on their special little card thing. Hopefully, more people buy the physical thing, and it helps stave off this digital movement that people are, you know, that companies are clamoring towards. But, you know, I don't know. I think the power of price should be in the consumer's hand. Fucking... capitalism all day, bitch. Yeah, straight from the offices of Well No Shit. I thought that was like a widely known thing a long ass time ago. There's another remodeled console coming out again in Europe. What the fuck is wrong with you, Europe? You're getting a 99 euro PSP that has no Wi-Fi and built in, none. So all the two-player games, no Monster Hunter for you, no Ad Hoc Party for you. You can still play downloaded games, but you have to use the PSP Media Go and, you know, copy it from a PC onto your...
That sounds like such a hassle.
It's a lot faster, but generally I do just download it over Wi-Fi and, you know, plug my PSP in, turn it on, set it down, and walk away. But, yeah, you can download it from your media. Your PS3, if you have a PS3, you can download everything on your PS3 and then copy it to your PSP with a USB cable. I've done that, too. What the fuck? Why would they take out the Wi-Fi support? It does a lot of things. The multiplayer, the web browsing. Before I got my iPod Touch, I used my PSP web browser quite a bit. €99
Sell the PSP with a cheaper version. That's all I can
see. Yeah, but why that one feature? Take out, I guess without that, there'd be no Skype support, and there'd be no reason for the microphone, I guess.
I suppose.
It looks kind of cool. The shoulder buttons are black plastic instead of see-through like every other version of the PSP. So yeah, it's kind of like the anti-Go.
It's like the fuck you Go.
And it's another Europe only thing. It's not in Europe.
Yeah, I don't know. I think there's a lot of piracy that goes around in Europe because most of the good stuff we get. So I'm guessing they're putting more focus on Europe to try and get their attention again.
I really don't think that would affect piracy. I mean, you know, Wi-Fi ability isn't going to stop you from putting on custom firmware and copying and pasting downloaded games.
No, but I think they're trying to do more favors to Europe because...
Okay. If doing favors is giving them shittier things, then okay.
But actually what happened was for Final Fantasy IV, the complete edition, they actually gave them like a special edition or like a collector's edition that we didn't get in America. So that like Europe has been getting a few things here and there that we haven't been getting. And they're also getting Xenoblade on the Wii, which we aren't getting in America.
Yeah, I saw something. I didn't put this on the show notes, but for some reason Kotaku mentioned that Europe is getting two of those fucking Wii games that people were petitioning for and shit. Fucking sucks.
That does suck.
Let's see. Modern Warfare 3 will be... Okay. Modern Warfare 3, the PC version, will have dedicated server support again. So people will be able to make their own servers and will not be at Activision's fucking control and mercy. So they're announcing that, hooray, Modern Warfare is going to have this feature that was standard like 15 years ago on every first-person shooter ever, except for Modern Warfare 2. So, what the fuck ever, guys.
Sweet.
Yeah, don't really give a shit. Just think it's funny that they're hyped up about them adding a feature that they just removed in the last installment of the series. last week I was talking about motherfucking what's that game where you dig boxes? Minecraft? Box? Yeah. Dig
Minecraft.
Boxes. That's what the fuck you do. You dig and you stack boxes. Notch.
I didn't think of it that way, but
The guy Notch, he got that cease and desist letter or whatever from Bethesda saying Scroll sounds too much like the Elder Scrolls. And
you know, it totally fucking doesn't.
No, it doesn't. And Notch has sent them a challenge. He wants to settle it out of court with a Quake 3 match. 3 versus 3. 20-minute matches. Each side chooses a map. They randomize the order they go on the maps. Highest frag count wins. If Notch's team wins, they get to call the game Scrolls. If Bethesda wins, they change the name to something else that doesn't piss off Bethesda so much. And there's a link to Notch's blog, and you can check that out in the notes and read it in his own words. And he says he's serious, and I think that's fucking awesome. Right. Bethesda has the balls to.
No, Bethesda probably won't bother.
Obviously,
but that is fucking awesome.
Wouldn't it be fucking cool though if they're like, if they did? It'd be awesome.
That would be awesome. That would be so fucking cool.
So I mean,
if Bethesda actually went with that. That's,
all they have to do is find three world-class Quake players and save a shitload of money in fucking court time.
I mean, I want to see a video of that shit. I want to make sure that that shit gets recorded and we get to watch it.
Oh, it would. There'd be no way in hell that that doesn't.
I would watch that shit with some popcorn to my side. Be like, fuck yeah, and a Pepsi. Or a Coke, whatever.
Yeah, get the fuck out of here with your Pepsi. Fucking turd juice.
I can go either way. I don't really care. Same shit.
God. Hell no. Coke's so much sweeter.
Whatever, dude. I really don't give a shit.
So much sweeter.
Sweeter, dude. Can't handle this fucking sweetness.
I'm gonna put on my fucking scarf and Buddy Holly glasses. I'm gonna make a cup of espresso. Anyway, last thing on the show notes. Saw a really sweet Sonic Generations trailer, and it kind of reminds me of Sonic Unleashed, but instead of switching over to that faggot Werehog, you switch over to the original Sonic and then play a better game. And that's the only reason I wanted to talk about it, just to say that, because that's what the trailer looks like. Looks like you're playing the new style fucking, you know, the part of the game where everyone's like, oh man, Sonic Unleashed would be cool if it got rid of that and just kept the good part. Well, it looks like that good part, and then you get to switch over to an even better version of Sonic and play a better game. And that looks mega sweet. I want to check out Sonic Generations when it comes out. But it's really got me wondering, what the fuck happened to Sonic 4? Has anyone heard anything about that? Is it going to exist?
I have no clue. I wouldn't be surprised if they just drop it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't know.
I have no clue.
I have no fucking opinion, dude. No.
I never played it, so I can't really comment.
Yeah, I played a demo, and it was just weird.
I didn't even play the demo, I don't know, honestly. I played the Sonic Generations demo. That was pretty fun. I enjoyed that.
Yeah, it looked kind of shitty on the PS3 version. It just didn't look really polished, but I understand it was early code. And I'm going to kick it over to some music. We're done with the show. My friend's about to come over. After the music, would you like to engage in some post-show bullshitting until my dude gets here?
I am always down for bullshitting.
Post-show bullshitting is the best. That's when I get to say what I really think about all these douchebags, because it's not being recorded.
Hey, calm down, Superman's tiny dog. It's okay if you like Dr. Pepper.
Dr. Pepper is fucking sick. It is the nastiest fucking beverage next to the iced tea that I drank when I was in jail. The two most unpleasant fluids I've ever had in my face, the iced tea when I was in jail, and fucking Dr. Pepper. Barf. That shit is gross. Fucking sick. I'm going to play a goddamn mommy song, because it makes me laugh.
Oh, and, wait. Hey, yeah, before we go into the post-show bullshit, I just wanted to make this quick little suggestion. When I got Mass Effect, I had messed up with the code that they give you, and yeah. I put it into an account that wouldn't allow me to download anything, which was bullshit, and it was my fault, but still, it was bullshit that I had a copy of the code that was legit, and I wasn't getting my shit. So I called up EA, and...
So wait. You entered the code wrong, and then it fucked you?
No. See, I have the account that I normally use, the Shintai account, but that account has had too many PS3s connected to it, because...
Okay, I get your problem. Like, when you download movies from the Sony store or whatever, when my original PS3 died, it won't let me download any of the movies that I bought previously. This is well before Netflix, too. So, like, I bought a couple of episodes of Futurama for, like, the $2 or $3 and just to test the service out. But I can't download them on my PS3. I can download them on my PSP still because it's the same PSP. But it gives me this bullshit about, you know, the activation thing. And I just, like, is it really worth calling the Sony helpline to sort that shit out? And so, I know what you're talking about.
Right. So instead what I do is I use a different account for stuff that I want to download. But I wasn't thinking at the time. I put the code in that account. And I was like, fuck, I shouldn't have done that. So I just call up EA. And believe it or not, they were very lax about it and didn't really ask for much in terms of whether I was lying to them or not. And they pretty easily just gave me a new code. So I recommend if you get Dragon Age or something, actually I don't recommend that, get the Ultimate Edition because everything's on disc for that. But I'm just saying in general, in the future, if you get a download code for a used game and the code doesn't work, call them up. They may be like, all right, here, have a new code. Just saying, give it a shot. You may come out lucky.
Huh? See, my friends love them to death, but goddamn, they don't make a lick of sense when it comes to writing words. Just seen a lol rain. What?
The a fuck's lol? An L- I think he meant a lot of rain.
No, okay, he corrected himself. L-I-L, a little rain. Okay, whatever. Oh, man, I wish I still had this saved. My friend Anthony, now this motherfucker, he cannot read or write.
That rain, it's so long.
I'm going to type this into the chat room. It's going to take a few seconds for everyone to catch up. But, check this out, Shintai. Look what I just typed into the chat room. Tell me what you think that is.
Be safer?
Besefer. Now, what do you think that means?
I have no clue.
But except for. I had to explain to that motherfucker that that's three different words, and that those three fucking words in combination, in that order, have a meaning. He thought there was a word. It just meant but except for, and that word was besefer. man, it's one of the most frustrating. He seriously typed that to me one day on AOL Instant Messenger. And was like, what the fuck is that supposed to mean?
I thought it was like a really weird saying, a way of saying be safer.
No, it's besefer, man. It's like, well, the problem with that is blah, blah, blah. Besefer, you forgot one thing. It's like, what?
Besefer, man.
Besefer. So, my dude's almost here, so I'm going to kick it over to some music, and then I'll talk to Shintai till he says he's out front. I'll tell Balzac my thrilling jail story. It's nothing too amazing. But, yeah, the show's done.
It's stolen. The drinkers need the favorite vendor.
Tasty treat of sauce and splendor.
Little man behind the car. Police can't catch him cause he's way too smart. Smell of mustard. sheltered in a big umbrella.
Once you're feeling safe and cool,
that's when the Wiener Man